We continue with this week's Federal Drive series, Citizen Science at the EPA. Now imagine living in a New Jersey neighborhood literally surrounded by highways, railways, a gigantic airport, factories, and, for good measure, an incinerator. It seemed like everybody had asthma. Motivated citizens got together with the EPA to help get a handle on the local air quality. Marie O'Shea is the Region 2 liaison to EPA's Office of Research and Development. She describes creation of an environmental toolbox and how it was used.
Well, our regional office is a strong supporter of citizen science, and one way we try to support these efforts is by providing communities with the tools they need to enable them to do their own environmental monitoring. Now, you heard earlier that with water quality monitoring, the tools, the technologies have been around for several decades. But if a community wants to measure their own air quality, it's not at all clear using, like, even though there are low-cost sensors that are available and that can be purchased online, it's not all clear how well they work or what sort of data they provide or even which ones to select for the pollutant that you might be interested in. So to address this need, our region partnered with the our agency's research scientists, and also the Ironbound community in Newark, New Jersey, to develop what we call a citizen science toolbox. Now, the Ironbound community, we partnered with them because they are committed to improving their air quality.
Is that the name of a town, Ironbound?
Ironbound is a community within Newark, New Jersey.
Okay.
Yeah. Newark is New Jersey's largest city, and Ironbound is a community of 50,000 residents. Unfortunately, the residents sit side by side with factories, with warehouses. They're surrounded by industries. The New Jersey's largest incinerator is just north of the community. To the south is the port of Newark, which is the one of the largest ports in the U.S. And then also adjacent is Newark International Airport.
I was going to say, yeah, there's planes and ships and automobiles.
A lot of transportation-related sources, yes. And then to add to all of that, the community itself is surrounded by, you know, major highways and railways. So there's a lot of potential sources of poor air quality. And as a result of this, 25% of the children in Newark suffer from asthma, which is three times the state average. And asthma is identified as the number one cause of school absenteeism.
All right, so this has really a spreading effect on, you might say, the whole community, society, really.
Community is very interested in air quality, yes. And up until now, they've had to rely on external partners to, you know, provide them with the tools, with the assistance to, you know, investigate the sources of the impact of these sources on their own air quality.
And I imagine that gets expensive after a while if you want to keep at it.
It gets expensive, and also you don't have your own control. You know, the community is reliant on university partners with local agencies that might want to test some equipment that they have on hand already. So they're not really having the control that they might want to actually get out there and do their own environmental monitoring. So by developing this toolbox, we're providing them with this ability for the first time to actually take control of the situation, go out there and collect the data that they're most interested in, and looking at the sources that they're most interested in.
So the toolbox is guidance and instructions for how to go about this?
Exactly. The toolbox includes, most importantly, four monitoring units. And these were designed and developed at our EPA's research facility down at Research Triangle Park. And these monitoring units were designed specifically to address the pollutants that were most concerned to the Ironbound community. And, of course, the toolbox also includes guidance, you know, as to how to operate these instruments, as well as a manual describing how to ensure the quality of the data, factors to consider when you place the monitors out into the community to make sure they're taking a representative sample of the air quality. And also strategies as to how to investigate one source versus another source, where you might place the monitors if you're interested in a highway, looking at the impact of that sort of source versus an industry.
Now, you mentioned a lot of sources, an incinerator, factories of all sorts, I suppose. Automobiles are one kind of pollution, train tracks are something else, and airplanes are something else. How do they know where to begin?
Well, they were most interested in the transportation-related sources because there's housing that's adjacent to these highways, and these highways are elevated. So if you're living on the second floor, you're looking right out at cars, you know, whizzing by you or an elevated train track. And there's been, discussions within the community of building more housing adjacent to these highways. So this, of all of the sources that, you know, they have the they had the ability to look at with our partnership, they chose to focus on the transportation-related sources. So the monitors that our research scientists developed were targeted, the sensors were targeted at identifying the pollutants associated with the transportation-related industry. So you had NO2 was one of the pollutants that...
That's cars.
Right, exactly. Exactly. NO2 is one of the pollutants, and also what we call particulate matter, or fine particulates in this case, which is another component of the exhaust of automobiles and trucks.
All right. And so with that data, what can you really do? Because in some cases of citizen science, the pollution was traced to a specific source, and that source was dealt with legally and in other ways. When you have 10,000 cars going by an hour, what do you do with the data you have?
Well, it allows the community to advocate for, you know, change in their community. They can use this data to educate the residences that might live near these sources so that they take the necessary precautions. Perhaps they invest in the filtration units that might, you know, decrease exposure. It's basically offering information to the community and raising awareness of the importance of air quality and some of the factors that could, you know, degrade it. And also, it's a very valuable information for the parents and the children that are suffering from the asthma that these pollutants are known to aggravate.
We're speaking with Marie O'Shea. She's Region 2 Liaison to the EPA's Office of Research and Development. And describe some of the people that go out and do this sampling. I mean, is it little old ladies in army boots? Or what type of person gets motivated to do this?
Well, in this case, we were working closely with the Iron Bank Community Corporation, which is a very strong community action group within the Iron Bank community. And when EPA developed and fabricated the monitors and provided them to the community, it was the Iron Bank Community Corporation that assembled the community volunteers who would ultimately go out and deploy these monitors within the community. And we held a half-day training session, and it was a chance for us in the agency, who also attended this training session, to really see who these volunteers were. And there were a lot of young people, some you know, older people that might have been retired. But by and large, there were young individuals who had the energy and the enthusiasm and the interest to really learn more about their environment.
And so just to pull on that same thread, if you discover there is this pollutant that is in higher concentrations than you would normally want, because there is Route 95 or whatever it is, or, you know, Jersey Route 9
exactly.
Going right through there. Once armed with all of this data and information, what can citizens do with respect to a transportation source that they can't really shut off?
Well, in the situation in Ironbound, one of the big problems that they have being located near the port, near the airport, is with truck emissions. Trucks frequently cut through their community. They drive by schools, playgrounds, when children are going to school or in the playground. So they've done truck counts to get a sense of what that, the number of trucks and the time that they might be passing, you know, the schools and the playgrounds. But now they'll have information on actually the emissions related to these transportation sources. So this is important information that they can use when they advocate within their local government to, you know, cut down on these, you know, either anti-idling campaigns or you know, enforce anti-idling campaigns, or to get truck routes changed.
What do you feel are the measures of success for a citizen science project?
In this case, it was really the partnership that was brought together to develop this toolbox. We worked closely from the very beginning with our agency's research scientists. We brought the community on board so we knew exactly the pollutants that were of interest to them, and we could design this monitoring unit that really addressed, that provided quality information on those pollutants. And so the team approach is really what led to the success of this project. And in fact, we're doing a similar project in Puerto Rico. We're going to be utilizing a smaller, lighter version of another multi-sensor unit. We're going to be working with a similarly impacted community in southwest Puerto Rico, the Talaboa community. And like Ironbound, it has industry, it has petrochemical plants, it's near a large highway. And they want to find out, like Ironbound, more about the emissions and the air quality in their community. So we'll be using these monitors to get out there, to educate the community, to let them know what the exposures are and the concentrations that they perhaps are being exposed to on a daily basis. And we're hoping that this knowledge will really bring about behavioral changes on their part. They'll know perhaps what routes to take to work, what routes to avoid, how they can, you know, where they might want to recreate versus, you know, one part of town versus another part. So we're hoping this information will really help them change their behavior to decrease their exposure to some of these hazardous pollutants.
Marie O'Shea is the Region 2 liaison to EPA's Office of Research and Development. Share this interview with colleagues. Go to federalnewsradio.com/federaldrive and click share with friends.